Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is D&K Bible Break, and we're live on Blog Talk Radio. And the phone number to call in is 845-277-9094. And we just want to say thank you all for joining us again for another edition of D&K Bible Break. First and foremost, we want to give honor to God, the head of our lives, to the Lord, our Savior, for allowing us to wake up in our right frame of mind and forgiving us the spirit and the ability to serve Christ and only Christ. And with that being said, good afternoon, everyone that's tuning in, whether you're on the internet or whether you're on the phone lines. We just want to say good evening again to everyone. Tonight, we have a D&K Bible Break. We're going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to have my wife just teach. You won't hear from me until I believe I may get a benediction, or she may just wrap everything all up herself, however the Lord leads her to go. But I just want to put this out there. Last week, I had I don't know if you want to call it an awakening, as we were doing our show, and my wife had said some things, and earlier during last week, I've heard Minister Tobert, who goes to our church, say some things, and even our bishop that preached last week say some things. I just looked at things a little differently. And when my wife was talking, and we continued to talk last Tuesday night after our Bible study, and there's a lot of wisdom in her. I'm not saying it because I'm a husband or I'm trying to gain brownie points. I'm just being sincere and putting on my heart what the Lord told me to do. So I asked my wife to just teach this because it's available. She ain't got to worry about work. She can just teach on Monday night. And I feel that if I talk, I'm taking away from her teaching. And I believe that she has the ability to stand on her own. I mean, we do D&K. We will always be D&K. But for tonight, and maybe, I don't know, every blue moon or however she feels led, just have her teach on these D&K Bible Breaks by herself and break it down. Now, if she needs me, I'm here for her. But tonight, I just want her to teach because I believe this is what the Lord would want her to do. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife, who is, you know, that's my rock. And I'm going to turn it over to her, and y'all will be in good hands with her. And she's going to pray us in and take us to wherever she feels leads to take us to. So tonight, I do know her topic is running on empty, and the next voice you hear will be her. So turn it over to Miss Kay. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for that lovely introduction on tonight. Happy Monday to everybody. I thank y'all for tuning in on this first Monday of October. Little nippy outside here, so I'm enjoying this cold weather because I like to turn on my heater. So thank you all for tuning in on tonight. I pray that everybody is safe on tonight. We're going to be coming from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 18 through 16. So if you want to get that, get your Bible out, you can kind of follow along with the subject on tonight, running on empty. Again, that was 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse number 8, and we're going to go through 16. Now, I'm not going to read the whole scripture because you can read it at your convenience, but that's where I'm going to be coming from tonight. Again, that's 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16. All right, Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening just thanking you for allowing us to come together one more time. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that you remove me and increase your spirit. Let it flow. Give me the right words in the right place to say what you have for me to say on tonight. Let all the studying come forth and you present it the way you want it to be presented. Lord, I honor you and I praise you, and I'm just grateful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I was thinking about, you know, about a week ago, a little bit over a week ago, you know, I was driving and my gas light came on and I didn't feel like stopping. And so I'm driving and it got a little bit lower and lower. And I'm like, I don't know how far my car can go before it starts acting up. But I was like past E. And so I'm praying, Lord, just please get me to the gas station. And my problem is I'm looking for the gas station that has the cheaper the cheaper price. So, of course, I would like to go to Sam's and get my discount there. But I was far away from Sam's. So I'm like, I guess racetrack is going to have to do on this day. So a lot of the times we do, I don't know about you, but I kind of like push the limits. And in that case, I'm praying that I make it to the gas station, knowing I'm wrong. I could have been got some gas. It's just being lazy. And I don't like touching the gas handle. I just don't like it. It's just nasty to me. But I did it. And that's not where I'm going tonight about the gas station. But that gives you an example of, you know, how, you know, you can be running on empty. And a lot of us, because of situations we go through, we may feel like we're running on empty ourselves. So I'm just going to ask, have you ever felt like you've given all you can give? And either you have nothing left or you're running pretty low. So either you're just depleted and you're like, I'm done, I'm tapped off, I'm tapped out, I can't do nothing else. Or maybe you're just running low. And have you ever felt at times that you've taken all that you can take and you just can't take anymore? It's like, Lord, I can't do no more. I know you say that you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear, but this seems unbearable. So I don't know if any of you have felt like that, but I felt like that plenty of times in my life. I do remember many years ago, that I was in a situation where it seemed like I was facing one issue after another. And I remember sharing with a friend that I wanted to run into the police station and just scream for help. I was so stressed out during that time. I was like stressed to the max. And the only relief that I could think of during that time was going in the police station and just screaming. I'm like, they going to help me somehow. They going to lock me up or something, but I'm going to get through. I'm just mentally done. And I remember feeling that way. And I actually realized that during that time in my life, that I was losing it mentally. That's how I felt. And it took the sudden tragic death of my brother, my little brother, in 2010 for me to get it. So after losing him in a motorcycle accident in 2010, it was like a light bulb went off in me. And that's when I fully realized that my life that I was living at that time and the life that my kids was living at that time wasn't going to end well if I didn't make a change. So at that time, you know, for the whole year, from July of 2010 all the way up until November of 2011, you know, I made some changes in my life during that time, and the Lord really showed his grace and mercy to me during that time, and he just worked a lot of situations out to where everything just lined up, and I'm like, this is God, and this is how I know it was God, because everything was running so smooth. It wasn't like I was getting no's and rebuttals, and it was just so smooth. And it was a smooth transition when I left Texas to move me and my kids here to Georgia. And since that time, I can truly say that no matter any situation that I face, no matter what, I trust God, because I've seen him do it for me. And he's done it so many times, I have no reason not to trust him. Now, I'm sure you all can think of, you know, different situations that you faced, and you know for certain that it couldn't have been nobody else but God that brought you through. You know, nobody can get the credit for it but him, whether it's a doctor's report, whether it's a financial situation, anything that you face, you know that it was nobody but God, and he's the only one that can get the credit for that situation. I'm sure there are many testimonies out there that you can agree with me that if it hadn't been for God, you wouldn't be where you are right now. Now, during those times when you're going through things, you know, things may seem, they may seem difficult or hard to trust. I'm not saying that it's like, oh, it was easy when you're going through. It's kind of like you get to a point where you know God has done it so many times, you just say, okay, he got it, and you just keep it moving. Not to say that you don't at some point say, oh, this is hard, and you don't want to go through that struggle. You just don't want to do it. And it may feel like you're running on empty. But, you know, it's important to trust God all the way. And when I say all the way, I'm saying all the way till you take your last breath. It's very important that you trust God, no matter what the situation looked like, something you're trying to accomplish, something that you're trying to get away from. Trust God. Ask him for guidance to lead you, to help you make the right decisions, because when you do it his way, it's going to work out no matter what. Now, this story in the Bible about a woman who was, you know, she was running on empty. If I could say it that way, she's running on empty with her food supplies. But, you know, your situation may not be food supplies. So you can fill in the blank with whatever you're running empty on. So it may not be food. Maybe your situation is something else that you're running on empty on. Maybe them kids getting on your last nerves and you're like, you know what, I'm about to put them out. So you could be running on empty, because I'm feeling that way myself. But you could be running on empty in different situations, not just food supply. So I'm going to go ahead and get to 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. I hope you had time to look over it and read it. In this passage here, we meet the widow of Zarephath. You know, when the prophet Elijah pays her a visit, we don't know her name, but we know that God himself chose her to play an important role in the story of Elijah. And 1 Kings 17, verses 8 and 9 says, then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Where Elijah was, you know, where he was going, the people he interacted with, they were, you know, important details, because he was a prophet, but he was a prophet on the run. And King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, they were angry with him for an incident where he killed many false prophets of their pagan religion. And they were chasing him in order to kill him. So he was on the run. Elijah was on the run. God knew that no one would actually suspect that a great and mighty prophet will be dwelling, you know, at this house of a poor widow. They wouldn't think to search there for this man of this high caliber to be with this lowly widow. And so the widow of Zarephath, she was chosen for this great task. She was chosen by God to accomplish this great task, which was assisting Elijah during this time. Now, when Elijah finds the widow, you know, what she's doing, if you finish reading there, she's gathering sticks for a fire. And he asks her to bring him some water. As she leaves to fetch the water, he asks one more request. And you can see that in 1 Kings 17 and 11. He says, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, the widow she did not refuse Elijah's request, but she does explain the difficult situation, you know, that this is putting her in. Now, she didn't pop off at the mouth. She didn't roll her eyes. She didn't go ham on him for even asking such a thing. Because if you remember, God had already spoken to her, and he already told Elijah what to do as well. So if you go to 1 Kings 17 and 12, it says, "And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a cruse. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Eat it and die. This lady was destitute. This lady was running on empty. She was like, "We just going to have this last meal and we're going to check out." That's what she was doing. But she explained the situation calmly to Elijah. She didn't go off. She calmly explained that it would be difficult to do what he asked. A lot of the times the Lord is asking us to do things, and it may feel like it's too much. You're like, "Lord, why do I got to be the one to do it? Why can't such and such do it? And why am I the only one that's being asked to do it?" And you just feel like it's just too much. And you may not feel like you have anything else to give, nothing to give. Like this woman, she just said she had a handful of meal and a few drops of oil. And God asked her for more. He asked her for more. No, so, you know, like when it comes to your family or jobs, when it comes to just plain old life circumstances, do you ever feel like God is asking for more than you have to give? Sometimes, to be honest, it just don't seem fair. It's like, "Lord, why do I have to do it?" It's like, why do I got to be the strong one? Why do I have to be the one to have all the answers? Why do I have to be the one to do everything, and everybody else just seems like they just chilling and they ain't got to do nothing because they're relying on me to do everything? Why does it feel this way? Why does it feel unfair like this? And I'm sure the widow of Zarephath, she feels that Elijah's request to share her little bit of food that she had wasn't fair. I'm sure she felt that wasn't fair. But guess what? She did what he asked her to do. A lot of us, we would have missed our blessing because we wouldn't have did it. A lot of us would have been like, "Nah, I'm going to feed my kids and I'm going to keep it moving because I got to worry about me and my household." And you see that a lot because even I'm thinking about people that you see out on the streets. If the Lord is telling you to do something for an individual, just do it. Don't worry about holding on to those few pennies that you're trying to hold on to. Don't worry about holding on to that one meal that you say, "I'm going to save this." No, release it. I was sitting with a group of ladies on Saturday at Repass, and they were just saying how sometimes if they mention how nice something is that somebody got on, that person would just give it up without even a blink. And I'm like, "Can I do that?" I mean, I don't know. My clothes ain't all fancy and all that, so maybe they're not into, but my jewelry or whatever. But to just know that somebody would just say, "Here, you can have it. Just because you said it was nice, here, you can have it." I wonder what life would be like if we all went around just, you know, showing the love of Christ without question, not to get used by people, but for the Lord to use you. So just trust God in what he's telling you to do. Make sure you're hearing from God, and everything will line up. Everything will work out according to the way that he wants it to work out. Now, his words, you know, I'm sure they didn't offer any type of reassurance to her in that moment, but everything that she did it generously, if I can say it like that. And a lot of the times the Lord tells us, you know, just do it. And we need to be obedient to the voice of the Lord telling us what to do. Now, Elijah tells the widow to prepare him a little cake and then to prepare food for herself and her son. And 1 Kings 17:14-16, it says, "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not be spent, and the cruse of oil shall not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not spent, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. The widow is rewarded because she trusts in God's goodness and obeys him. Even when she wasn't sure, even when she may have even been afraid that, you know, she was given her last. So she trusts in God to provide whatever she needed, whatever her son needed, and God did provide for her. And many days you may be looking like, okay, Lord, I can't, I'm done, and you're running so low. Trust God to fill up your tank. Trust God to restore whatever needs to be restored within you, because he will increase the strength that's already in you, but you have to rely on him. A lot of the times we rely on our jobs, we rely on our friends, our families, we rely on our girlfriends. We just rely on everything and everyone outside of Christ. And I'm not saying that you don't need people in your life to assist you, but your full, wholehearted trust should be in Christ, because people will fail you. People will let you down. People may not they may not have it at that time, and it may be a genuine reason why they don't have it. So it's important that you rely on Christ for what you need and let him, like I said, fill up your tank and restore whatever needs to be restored in your life. Now, every one of us is only a breath away from tragedy or even devastation. I look at the situation that's going on in Florida. It's a lot going on in Florida, and I'm looking at the devastation of the properties and people's homes, and I'm like, I know that's hurting. I can't imagine, but they still have life for those who are remaining. They still have life. So we may not like situations that we're in, but as long as we have breath in our body, as long as our hearts are beating in our chest and the air is filling our lungs, we should be grateful. We should be praising God, because guess what? He is going to provide for you. He's going to make provisions for you if you trust him. Don't trust yourself. A lot of times you think you can do this and you think you can do that. Mm-mm. Put your trust in God, because even me, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes. Like Bishop said before, I can't even trust myself. So it's important that you put your trust in Christ for your food, for your clothing, for your shelter. And the climate that we live in right now, with all these prices on everything going up, it's ridiculous. There's no way we can rely on our paychecks. We can't rely on our parents. We can't rely on anything outside of Christ. Because if you are relying on that check to get you through, your faith is in the wrong place. Because I'm looking at my check, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm grateful. But the Lord stretches that check. I tell you, he will stretch it. You'd be like, okay, well, you still got some money left over here. Praise God. He will stretch it. But you got to do right by the money that he does give you as well. I'm going to just put that on the side here. Do right by what God gives you. If he gives it to you, do right. Don't do foolishness with what he's giving you and just blow stuff off. He's giving it to you. Be respectful and do what you're supposed to do. Everybody likes to have fun, but handle your business first. That's what I was taught, and that's what I live by. Handle my business first, and whatever is left, okay, thank you, Lord. And make sure you save. You know, a lot of people, we don't save. I don't care if you save $5. I tell my daughter, save. I don't care if it's $5 out of your check every time you get paid. Save something. Get into the habit of saving, because you never know in the long run you may need those $10 to put in your gas tank. I mean, I know that's not going to get you nowhere right now, but you know, this will change prayerfully soon. But you trust God in everything that you do, and don't just take my word for it. You know, go and read chapter 17 and just look at this scripture on your own. Dig a little bit deeper. Do some more research. Just to show it's more things in here than just trust. I put trust out of here because, you know, I need to trust in the Lord for a lot of things that I'm going through that I can't see how it's going to work out with my own two eyes, but I trust God no matter what because I know he has the final say-so in everything. And whether it's a financial situation, a physical situation. I was just talking to one of my friends, and he's talking about the prices for medication, you know, at the pharmacy. It's like, okay, even your medication could be high right now, but trust God. Trust God. I mean, if you need the medication, sometimes they offer discounts and things like that, but trust God to work things out for you. You're a child of God, he's going to work it out for you. Trust him. And whether it's mental, a lot of times the enemy likes to play with our mind and get us off track. Emotionally, he likes to get us off track. And a lot of times we do get caught up in our emotions, get so caught up in our emotions that we can't even see straight. We need to put those emotions on the back burner a lot of the times and just focus on our faith and our trust in the Lord, especially spiritually. You know, rely on Christ. Every day you should be asking the Lord to lead and guide you. You shouldn't do nothing without asking him, Lord, what do you say in this situation? And I'm guilty. I wasn't doing that a lot of the times. Now I do find myself saying, okay, Lord, how do I handle this? What do you say about this? What do you think about this? And I'm just talking to him just like he's sitting right next to me. Like, I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm going to need you to work it out. And a lot of times he either works it out or it doesn't get worked out right then and there, but eventually it gets worked out, but it's not the way that I thought it was going to work out. So it's important that you trust him because he knows the best route to take. He knows the best decisions that you can make. I read somewhere or I heard somewhere, I can't remember, but it says just because it's a good decision doesn't mean it's a God decision. So everything that I do, I want to make sure it's a God decision because if I do things on my own and I do things according to how I think it should be done, a lot of the times I mess it up. So it's important to me that I focus on what God is having me do and how he's having me do it. And it's very important that if you know somebody that you know is going through a situation, even if you're just a listening ear, you don't always have to say anything. Sometimes people just want to know that you care. Sometimes people just want to know that, hey, if I need to get something off my chest, that you're there to listen to them, not to give your 2 cents, because a lot of times we're giving our advice and it's not godly advice. So let the Lord deal with the situation. Just listen to what the person is saying. And if the Lord is telling you to do this or telling you to do that, then you do what the Lord is telling you to do. So I'm not going to just keep on going. I know I didn't do a whole hour show, but I wanted to just come on here and, you know, let you know that a lot of times we do run on empty, and trust God to fill you up again. Allow God to fill you up again. Be obedient to God to let him fill you up again. Get out of your own way. Don't get an attitude. Just keep it moving and let the Lord do what he needs to do in your life. I don't know. That's pretty much all I had tonight. I know I'm only, 30 minutes in, but it's important that we let the Lord lead us. I'm not used to talking a whole hour, so if my husband is on, you can chime in if you want to say anything about running on empty, but I just want y'all to trust God no matter what. I don't care what the situation is that you're facing. Trust God. He knows what you need. He knows how much you can take, even though we feel like we're at the end of our means. But a lot of the times it's good to get to the end of yourself, because when you're at the end of yourself, then you can't do nothing but rely on the Lord. So let the Lord lead you in all areas. And I pray that y'all got something out of this. I don't know. I pray that y'all did. But, husband, you on?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here with you. the thing about what you're saying and what I've learned so far, and what you were teaching, and the lady, and she had enough, and she was running, seemed like she was running on empty. And I know when I run on empty, I get attitudinous. I'm irritable. And sometimes, God will put us in that position and to see how we're going to react. Are we going to let the natural take over the spiritual, or are we going to allow the spiritual take over the natural? Especially when you're at the point of, you want to say something, and you know that because you're on empty, you're low, your fuel level is low. And if you don't get something in you real quick, you're liable to snap. Especially Christians, because we learn to put up with a lot. We turn the cheek on a lot of levels and turn the cheek on it, and then we get so fed up, we're ready to explode. And, the Bible say, be angry, but sin not. And I'm just learning that, and I just did it last week, or the week before last. I was at my boiling point, but what the Lord showed me to do was, I just went into a zone where my focus was to argue about football. And after I got through arguing about football, I felt better because I was distracted from what was making me feel so low that I remembered spiritually who I was. And that gave me enough juice to take it to where I needed to go, so I wouldn't have my Christianity challenged by my flesh, because I was running low. But I thought you did a great job just bringing that out, letting people understand that there is another level to go. And in some vehicles, and I believe every Christian should have a reserve tank, and that tank is, for the ladies, you should have a mother figure, someone that you can go to, that you can trust, that when you get to that point, that can get you right back on track. For the men, have that father figure or that old wisdom guy that you can talk to that will get you right back on track. A reserve tank, because sometimes we do so much, and it comes from a good place, but we just get wore down by the cares of this world. We work. Everyone ain't saved where we work with. Everybody's not saved in our families, and even in our homes, everything isn't the way it's supposed to be, and it wears and tear on us spiritually. So you can get low. That's why it's important that who around you and being able to go to that person to get rejuvenated. That's pretty much all I'm going to say on that. And again, what I'm trying to do here with D&K Bible Break, I wanted my wife to teach and her teach without us going back and forth. Now, we are going to do some back and forth, but we got a lot of stuff we got planned to go back and forth with. But every now and then, just let her teach, because I believe that, well, I don't believe, I know. The Lord told me to do it, so I know I'm right. So let's let her teach and let it be it. However she leaves, if it's 30 minutes, 30 minutes, if it's 20 minutes, 20 minutes. At the end of the day, is what God wanted to be said. So You did a good job. I appreciate you. I appreciate all you do. And just for helping me do what I have to do, because I know you know I'd be running on low, and I know I'm a handful to deal with. So I just appreciate you, because I know when you run on low, you know, you need that boost. And so for all the sisters out there, pray for my wife, because she got a lot going on. Got a lot going on, and dealing with me ain't easy.
It's like I always got a lot going on, and that's sad. It don't be me, it's everybody outside of me, but it's a lot.
Well, it's a lot, but then again, look at the platform you're on and look how many people. The devil's not, he's not liking that, so he's going to try you on every level and on every hand. And I just know that just from experience. He's going to try, and he's going to continue to try. And as we keep going to another levels, it's definitely going to be more and more that he's going to try to destroy us, because he doesn't like to see married people preaching the gospel together. Now, if we were doing this separate, it wouldn't be that bad. If we were doing two different faiths, it wouldn't be that bad. And maybe we'll talk about that another day at another time. But when you're doing it together, and two become one, when the message get out that you're preaching the same thing I'm preaching the same thing you preaching. The devil don't like that, because, you know, the scripture says he one brings 1,000 to 10,000. That's where we're at right now. And we keep going from level to level to level. And the reason I'm going to take a step back a little bit from DNK, because we got another show that we're getting ready to produce, and it's just with the old men gang is what we're going to call it. And we're just going to talk about things that's going on in the world from a man's point of view, from a Christian man point of view. And we're working on that. We're trying to get sponsors for that, and I'm trying to get a good panel for that. So the Lord is elevating us and taking us to a different level. And sometimes I run on empty. So I needed this tonight as well. So I just want to thank you, wife. I appreciate you, love you, and I think you did an excellent job. I think you did an excellent job. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, remember that when you feel like you're running on empty, just remember that the Lord is going through it right with you. He's right there beside you. You're never alone. As long as you're confessing Christ, you are never alone. I don't care how low you feel. There's always a reserve tank. And that reserve tank, the Lord is right there with you. So just remember that. With that being said,
make one more comment that. So just to add to that, when you find yourself running on empty, you know, trust God to make a way. He knows what you need, even when you don't. So trust God no matter what. You may not be able to articulate or put into words what you need, but the Lord knows. So trust him when you're running on empty. That's it.
Amen. Yeah, trust him. That's it. You know, and if you need, you know, you need a distraction. You know, I argue with the fellas about football or sports. It's a good distraction, and it works for me. I'm just throwing it out there because we got a little bit more time. It works for me. I don't know what will work for you. I like to argue, and it gets my mind off of the more serious things. And then when I'm done doing what I'm doing, I can go back and look at it a little differently. And it seems to help me. And then you never see me down, because I'm always got something going on, arguing about something, doing something. So when I get back to that spiritual matter, you know, I've had enough time to look at it in a different view, that I don't make a haste decision and do something out of anger or because I'm tired. You know, I can take a chance to, you know, look at things a little differently. But everyone is different. And like I said, it's very important to have someone that you can go to talk to, that's a little older or wiser or experienced, so they can help you get through whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're tired of. Because life can beat you up really bad. Just going to work, coming home, trying to pay bills. Not trying to have a family. I mean, if you got a family, that's even worse, because now you got to deal with other people's issues. whether they're your kids or your grandkids, you got to deal with stuff. So, you know, it's hard. But just remember, you know, the Lord is right there with you. And the thing that's exciting about it is I know the Lord is with me, but what I feel bad about is with people who not even recognizing the Lord, they got it hard. That's what's sad. And that's what we ought to be praying for. And for the people who don't have the Lord and that are tired and running on empty.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Stuff you see people killing their kids for no, and I'm not going to say for no, but it's really innocent kids for no reason because they're on empty and they don't have no one to turn to. And they're not even turning to the Lord. And this is what happens. You have a lot of people in school go to school and shoot up a school because they're running on empty and they don't have a God to pray to. They're just doing it because they're disconnected from the Lord. At least we have the Lord. And when we run on empty, at least when you get to that empty point, the Lord will be right there with you and help you get to the next level, help you get to where you got to go through. So even if you're running on empty tonight, thank the Lord that you know the Lord, and the Lord is right there with you. And just remember that.
And fill somebody else's tank up. Help somebody else fill their tank up.
Right. And before I go, you said something about you were sitting with a group of ladies and how they would say something, a compliment, and someone would say, give it to you.
They would just give it to them. They would just whatever. Like one of the ladies said she had on a necklace. I think she said a necklace, one lady said she had on some shoes. Oh, no, somebody else had on some shoes, and she gave her a compliment about her shoes. The lady just gave her her shoes. I mean,
wow.
And I believe there's another evangelist that I was speaking to on Saturday as well, and another young lady, she needed shoes, and she just gave her some shoes. It's like people are just doing, and I think that's beautiful. You're helping somebody else.
I just wanted to bring that out because when you're not materialistic and you really living for the Lord, it's not that it's real simple just to give. And when people say, I'll give you the shirt off my back, you know the people that will give you the shirt off their back, and then you just hear people that know it for lip service. But
right.
It's good to be around them type of people who you see do it, you know will do it. You know, I know. I keep saying I want to, and I'm working on it because I know people who just give, just willing. They just give, and the thing about that, when you give, you don't know what that person went through or going through, and they're giving, and they're giving it from their heart. And the thing about it is, when they give it, it's their way of letting God know that I know God is with me, because the same way I'm giving it is the same way I'm going to get it back, just as easy. And we get so caught up with how much we paid for something, we better not get that away. And we have the wrong mentality. That's why I want to be able to give and give freely without even thinking about it. And to do that, you got to make a sacrifice. And to do that, you got to, you know, there's some things you got to go through. So I'm real thankful for the people who just give and don't even think about it. They just do it. And again, I don't like, calling names out or doing stuff like that because I don't want people to think that, but we, me and my wife, we know people who just give. They'll just come over our house and just give, and it's like, wow, I wish, and maybe one day we'll be able to do that. And not saying that we don't do it, but I want
to
be able to do it on a big time level.
I'm about to say, partner, we do a lot. You just don't know about it. You just don't know.
And that goes vice versa. But at the same time, I'm talking about just give. But we do give a lot. On both hands, we do give a lot. And I ain't saying it to brag, but I want to be able to do it on another level. I want to be able to do it on another level. And I'm praying that God takes me to that next level where I can just give and give freely without it,
Isn't there a scripture, to whom much is given, much is required? That's
much
a scripture.
Required, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of it out of context, but I'm just thinking, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Release it.
Yeah,
And that's what happened with the widow here. Her, it just kept flowing. It kept flowing, you know, because she was obedient without moving.
Right.
But go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm done. Tomorrow night is we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. sharp. And you know, again, I'm going to say this and I'm going to have you close us out in prayer. But if you ain't doing nothing tomorrow night, just come to Bible study and hear the word of God. And the reason I say hear the word of God, because you will get the word of God. Someone during the Bible study will say something, comment, and it will be a blessing to you for whatever you're going through. And it's been like that since I've been on the panel for Bible study. Someone gonna say something or do something that's gonna be a blessing. And if it might be the whole service, it might be one thing. It all depends on where you're at. But just tune in to Bible study. And I'm just gonna tell Praise Tabernacle, if anyone's listening from Praise Tabernacle, you don't have no excuses. Because the word is being taught and is being preached. You have no excuses. And the sad thing about this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it over to my wife so she dismisses. I get more compliments from Bible study from people who don't even attend our church than I do from people who listens to the Bible study. More compliments. More questions. And it's like, why? And I don't even have enough time to go into detail because, you know, we're working over here, but the people asking the questions ain't the people that is designed for. Because if you fellowship with Praise Tabernacle and you're listening to the Bible study, if you're listening, it's a great word being taught every Tuesday night, every Tuesday night. And we got some new teachers coming up that I'm excited to hear them and the thing about it is you never know who's listening to you and who you're helping. So just remember that. Just remember that. Don't go to sleep full and uncomfortable because you're not doing what the word's telling you to do. So if you ain't doing nothing tomorrow, and if you are listening, call up someone and tell them to listen to Bible study tomorrow because it's going to be a great word. Not just on every Tuesday. It's going to be a great word. Trust me. It will be a great word worth you coming out to listen to. And Bible study, it ain't going to cost you no gas. It ain't going to cost you anything just to pick up your phone and dial 845-277-9094. And you can put your phone on speaker. And now they got these things. I'm learning a lot because we're trying to – you put it on your TV and listen to it. Only going to be about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And then on Sunday morning Praise Tabernacle, Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. right here on Blog Talk. Also on Wednesday, we have in the morning vent break at 8 a.m. in the morning. If you want to be encouraged, we got a word for you right here at 8 a.m., same phone number, same website to get your day started every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. with vent break. And then at night, at 9 p.m., we have Watchmen on the Wall. If you want to hear about end-time preaching, tune in 9 p.m. Eastern Time for Watchmen on the Wall. Thursday, we have the Royal Boudouettes family, and they will talk to you very openly about issues that are going on in their family, what they went through, what they're going through, and they'll put a word on it. And when they put a word on it, that means they're going to tell you they're not perfect. But they will find a word to get them through what they're going through. And that's every Thursday night at 7 p.m. The Royal Blouette family will be on here on Thursday night. And, again, you never know when chaos is going to show up. We're working on a lot of different things. And, again, new shows, new platforms, and trying to get this Facebook Live and the audio good with it so we can be professional and also be on Blog Talk and Facebook at the exact same time. So, and we don't have to do that. This music is, we ain't trying to do all of that and all the stuff that we have to follow through so we don't play other people's music and all that kind of stuff. We're still working that stuff kind of out. working that out. But with that being said, I'm done. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Again, if you don't, text my wife. She did a great job. You learned something. Give her a text. Shout out. And wife, you did an excellent job. And someone else want to tell you, you did a good job.
Daddy, you did such a good job today.
Thank you. That was from
thank
our oldest daughter.
Thank you, my daughter.
Wife, the service is in your hand.
All right. That's my baby. All right. Thank you all for listening. Once again, I pray that you got something out of it, not from me, but from the Lord. I pray that the Lord spoke something to you. I pray that there was some encouragement for you to keep going and keep trusting God no matter what situation you're in right now. Just know that God's got you. He got you, and he'll take care of it. So with that being said, Father God, thank you for once again allowing us to come together on. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I pray that you touch not only the person that's listening, but touch their families, touch their their friends. Just work their situations out for them. You know exactly what needs that are needed to be met at this time. Lord, I thank you for making a way for them the best way that's going to be beneficial for you to get all of the glory and nobody else. Lord, I honor you and I praise you. I thank you for traveling mercies on this weekend as I travel to South Carolina. I pray that you bless our going and bless our coming. I pray that your spirit just saturates the place for the entire weekend. Lord, I honor you and I praise you. It is in your son's name that I lift you up. You all have a blessed evening, rest of the week, and take care. Good night.